Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We want to hear from you. We want you to be a part of today's broadcast. If there's something you'd like to talk about, a topic you'd like to discuss, let us hear it. Give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday, we started a brand new month, and we're really excited about our subject matter this month. It's called The Real You. We're going to be talking about everything identity in Christ Jesus, and this is really an important subject. Mm-hmm. You know, Adam and Eve, they weren't worried about trying to figure out who they were. They knew exactly who they were. Because they were in relationship with God the Father. Their identity derived from that relationship with Him. But when sin entered the world, when sin entered the picture, identity was shaken at its core. Adam and Eve left that garden, and they had no earthly idea who they were. Why? Because the one thing that defined that for them was now gone, that relationship that they had with God. And so all of us come into this world with that same question, I think, just put deep within our hearts. And at some point, that question kind of bubbles up, it surfaces, and we begin to ask, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Those big three that have perplexed mankind since the fall thousands and thousands of years ago. So this is a huge subject. And there are many out there on a quest. They're searching. They're asking all kinds of questions to answer that one all-consuming question, and it's this: who am I? Well, there's only one way that we can really find out who we are, and that's to go back to the Creator, the one who made us to begin with. Now, we lost our identity through sin, but we can find a new identity, one that is unshakable, that will be eternal through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, here's what the Word of God says in 1 John chapter 3, and this is one of my favorite passages. It says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." So there's an identity. There's what God wants us to know, that we can be children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We were born into this world in Adam, lost, and we carried his identity, which wasn't a good one. But we can be born again into the family of God and be given a brand new identity, that identity being a child of God. So that's what we are. Anyone out there listening to the sound of my voice right now, if you have received Jesus, if you have crossed over from death to life through faith in Him, you have a new identity. That new identity is child of God. Now, he goes on in this verse, and I think this is really important for us to understand. It says, "The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him." So we're deriving an identity through our relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Now, the world isn't going to pay attention to that. It isn't going to lift us up and say, wow, you guys are really somebody special. And the reason the world will not pay attention to us as children of God is because it doesn't know God through Jesus Christ. That's exactly what it's saying here. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Now, there's going to come a time when Jesus Christ is going to return. We're going to be there with Him, and it will be revealed exactly what we are. And I think all of creation will look on and say, wow, wow. Not because we're special, not because we've done something to merit that kind of wow. It's because of what Christ has done, that those people, those children of God, are the recipients of the very grace of God that's been poured out in Christ Jesus. Those children of God are the ones who experience, who know, who've received, who live in the very love of God the Father. We just get to know about that from a distance, but they're the ones that have experienced it to the very depths of their soul. That's why it's going to be a wow factor, not because of us, but because of Jesus.
Indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and that's the good news that we share with you every day. And we so appreciate all the prayers and support you gave during the month of July. And we're going to keep on going and proclaiming this message of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all of us here at Basic Gospel are confident that more and more of you, our listener friends who have heard this good news, will continue to partner with us to do the work that keeps the message going forward. You can donate online at basicgospel.net. In Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. You can also donate by phone at 844-322-2742. You can give through the Basic Gospel app or with PayPal. And we want to thank you for your love of this message of grace in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Well, we have a really wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands called The Real You this month. And you know, when we talk about the word basic, we're not talking about things that are elementary. We are talking about things that are essential. And when we talk about identity in Christ and you coming to grips with the real you in terms of your relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that's essential.
Yeah.
If you don't know who you are in Christ, you're going to latch on to some identity. Why? Because we as human beings have to have a name. We have to have a label that we wear so that we can say, I belong to this particular group. Well, the only identity that really matters is your identity in Christ. So we have this wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands called The Real You. It's available for your gift this month to Basic Gospel.
Indeed. And of course, you know all the ways. We have several ways that you can give. And as I always say, any way is a great way to support the ministry of Basic Gospel.
Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to our good friend, Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. I'm having trouble getting my words. I told Michelle I'd have trouble getting it out the second time when I said it. But years ago, I remember Bob Davis saying, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart.
I think somebody else said that, but I just copied it.
Okay. And I have trouble doing that. I'll just make it short. I have trouble doing it. I've got a bad back, bad neck, bad shoulder, and arthritis.
A lot of stuff going on there, Mary Jo, and pain that we experience in day-to-day life is very distracting. It keeps our attention focused on the pain and just how we can manage it and just how we can live through it day in and day out. So sometimes just the pain itself blinds us to the joy of knowing Christ. So I think we need to daily for you, Mary Jo, is start each day with, I think, Paul's prayer to the Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. And there he talks about, I pray that you may be strengthened with power by the Holy Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell there by faith and that he may strengthen you along with all the saints to know the depth and the length and the breadth and the height of the love of God and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. So I would suggest to you, Mary Jo, that you start each day with that prayer and then trust the Lord to, during the day, just to give you glimpses of what that love really is for you at that very moment.
Yeah.
And that in and of itself will put rejoicing in your heart and thankfulness in your heart and will turn your eye away from some of the pain and all of those things that you are going through. So Ephesians 3, 16 through 19 is the prayer, and I would write that down, maybe put it on your mirror, put it somewhere in your house, several places in your house, and just every time you see it, let that be a reminder to depend upon the Holy Spirit to give you a real experience of the love of God each and every moment of the day.
Okay. Well, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Mary Jo. Thanks for your call. God bless you.
Yeah. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us today. I had a question from Clay, our friend. He says, I understand the physical and mental ramifications of a believer inwardly sinning against his own body by not honoring and bringing glory to God in the body that has become the temple of the Holy Spirit. My question is, how long should it knowingly be permitted in the corporate church without repentance if the believer is not serving in one of the gift offices of the fivefold ministry? It seems to me that if men police sinning in the church, they're doing the job that belongs to the Holy Spirit. That's from Clay, who writes to us from Thorndale, Texas.
Well, that is a good question, and certainly we're not supposed to be sin inspectors.
Yeah.
We're not called to examine someone else's life and to see how well they're doing or not doing. And then if they're not doing so well, if they're involved in some sin, then to report back to the elders. I mean, God doesn't have a spy agency that he calls upon to find out all of this information. He knows what's going on. Yeah. He knows what's going on in all of our lives. He knows the things that we do. He knows the things that we think. He knows the things that we say. And he's not shocked by any of them. And if they're missing the mark, if they're things that we call sins, then he's seen them and he's dealt with them and he's judged them and he's condemned them and Jesus died for them.
Yeah.
So Jesus died for our sins. So none of this takes him by surprise. What we do see in the Word of God is that God the Father himself is very protective of the body of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So when sins, when attitudes, when sinful actions start to become a cancer within the body, it's starting to affect other believers. It's starting to distort how they view the very gospel that saved them. That's when discipline has to take place within the body. So we see that in 1 Corinthians 5, the guy having sexual relations with his father's wife. Now, that was bad enough, but there were people within the body saying, well, if he's getting away with this, maybe this is okay. So it became a cancer within the body. So to protect the body at large, Paul dealt with the individual and said, we need to put him out of the body, and we need for God to deal with him outside of this body of believers, so the body of believers can heal. And then there was a point in time where Paul said, let's bring him back and restore him to the body. And so that's what took place. So the real issue there, it was two things. One, what he was doing, pretty grotesque indeed, but that had started to cause problems within the body at large. Now, if that information had come to the attention of an elder or a pastor or somebody, then that elder or that pastor could have gone to him privately, individually, and said, this is what's come to my attention. Is this true? And if it's true, then let's deal with this together. I'm here for you. I'm here with you. Let's walk this path together. But in Corinthians, it had gone much beyond that. And so it had to become a public disciplining. Now, the church, there's a lot of churches out there who love to discipline. Who love to do this. And I think they have pushed the limits of, quote, their authority in doing it. So we need to recognize if there's something affecting the body, that's when leadership needs to get into action. Richard? Yeah.
One of the problems we have as individual people, and it's really shown in the church, is that we would much rather talk to somebody else about your problem than talk to you about a problem. And when we do that, it just makes everything worse. If we would just put the fear away and say, Lord, I'm not sure I'm seeing this right. Give me the right words. And you go to the person, I'll bet you 9 times out of 10 it can be solved instantly.
Right, right.
Oh, man, I did that. I'm sorry. And now the spirit works in two people. But as soon as we start rumor-mongering, well, did you hear what so-and-so did? It's all over but the shouting at that point. And that was the problem in Corinth. They didn't do anything right as a church. I mean, it was. I'm glad I was never a pastor in Corinth. But Paul was bringing them back with the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit to health. And that's what we should be doing. We shouldn't be afraid of this stuff.
Right.
Just deal with it.
Yeah, and here's a great thought from the day, and it comes from our good friend Wayne, who always watches us on our YouTube video feed. And so he writes this: the thought of the day is that God is in love with all of his children. And that has to be the attitude behind any, quote, discipline.
Yes.
That we have to communicate more than anything that God is in love with all of his children. And so any action that is taken must be done from that compelling truth. Yeah. So, Wayne, thanks for putting that out there as the thought of the day. We appreciate that, my friend.
Indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. 844-322-2742. We have open lines, and we'd love to hear from you. Time on the clock. And, guys, we've had a couple of questions from listeners recently who would like to speak with us live on the program, but don't know what time the program actually comes on. So we want to take just a second to talk about that. The Basic Gospel program, the live program, begins at 3 p.m. Central Time. No matter what time your station plays our program on the air, 3 p.m. Central Time is when you need to call if you want to speak directly with us here at Basic Gospel. Now, if your station airs Basic Gospel at a later time and you have called during the live broadcast, you'll be able to hear that conversation with us when your station airs that day's program at their regular time later. So regardless, we encourage everybody to call during the live broadcast that begins at 3 p.m. Central Time if you can. And if you can, you can still call that same number, 844-322-2742, and record your question by voicemail. So I'll say quickly, if you want to be with us, speak directly with us during the live broadcast, it's best to call at the top of the hour, 3. Probably you won't get in if you are a little bit later. Well, we had a question from Corey, guys. 1 John 5:16 says, could you help me make sense of 1 John 5:16? It seems to suggest that God will give life to a sinning brother, I suppose an unbeliever, he says, upon the prayer request of the believing brother. If it is referencing a believer who commits a sin, then why must he need life through the prayer of another brother? Perhaps the phrase "give life" is throwing me off. That's from Corey, who wrote to us through the Basic Gospel app.
Well, here's what the passage reads: if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is a sin that leads to death, and I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. Now, that's how the book of First John basically ends. There are several more verses to bring us to the very end of it. But we have to realize that this is part of the entire letter. We can't just lift this out and try to figure out what in the world is John talking about. And throughout this book, he writes in terms of contrast, light and darkness, lost and saved, love, hate. All of those things are a part of this particular letter. And he's saying that there's some that say they're in the true fellowship, yet they're not in the fellowship because they walk in darkness. And so he's saying if you see someone like that, go to him and give them the invitation to join the real fellowship, to become a part of the true fellowship of believers who have fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Now, when we say fellowship in this particular context, we're not talking about a feeling. Do I feel close to God or do I feel distant from God? I think that's how many people define fellowship, based on their feelings. I feel close, so I'm in fellowship with them, and I've done something wrong and I feel distant, so I'm not in fellowship, so now I have to do something to try to get back in.
Yeah.
That's not what that word is talking about at all. It's talking about you're either saved in the fellowship or lost out of the fellowship. So I think this is just a part of that particular thread that goes through this book. So if you see somebody who says they're in the fellowship and yet walks in darkness, yet hates their brother, go talk to them. And maybe they will agree and receive life, just as this particular verse says. Richard, do you have any thoughts on it?
Well, there's one other aspect of 1 John. The real issue here is, who is Jesus?
Yes.
He's either exactly who he claimed to be, or he is not, and there's no middle ground. And so for those people who resolutely refused to accept Jesus as very God, that's the sin that leads to death. There's not a thing I can do about that. I mean, I can pray about it and say, Lord, please show them, but I can't do anything about someone else's refusal to accept Christ until such time as they show some slight inkling that they're going that direction. Then you can come alongside and present the gospel. But as long as someone is adamantly opposed to Jesus himself, there's nothing I can do.
Well, and back in those days, folks were saying that this Jesus that you're talking about did not come in the flesh.
Yeah.
He could not have come in the flesh because that would have made him evil. So he was just a spirit being. Well, if he was just a spirit being, then he couldn't have died physically
Correct.
For our sins in accordance with scriptures. His body could not have been buried, and he could not have been raised back to life. Well, if he's just a spirit being, then you have no gospel message.
Correct.
So we have to see Jesus for who he is, and that's part of the reason that John wrote the letter in the way that he did, is to give assurance to those who are in the true fellowship and then give an invitation to those who were outside, who were professing to be a part of it, but in reality were not. He was giving an invitation to say, come and join the real fellowship by believing in the one that we proclaim to you, the one that we have seen, the one we have beheld, the one we have touched, the one who was raised back to life and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Come and receive him, and you will receive life everlasting.
Indeed. Well, we have just a couple of minutes left, and Bob, we have a great trip to the Holy Land coming up. Fill our listeners in on that while we have time.
It is going to be a fantastic trip. It's next May 25th through June 6th. We are going to spend some time in Israel. We're going to see all the sites that are important as far as the new covenant is concerned. We're going to go into Jordan, and we're going to see some really cool things in Jordan.
Yeah.
And we want you to come and be with us. There are a lot of ministries and a lot of churches that take trips to Israel, but very few take it with a new covenant emphasis.
Yes.
And if you want to go and really see the grace of God, this new covenant, explode in ways you've never seen imaginable, both in your understanding and in your experience of it, I tell you, this trip is worth every dollar that you will spend. All the information is at our website. Come join us next spring for Israel 2019.
Yeah, just click that link top of the homepage at basicgospel.net. And remember, friends, if you're wondering why the Christian life is not working for you, you have plenty of company. Living this Christian life, it's not hard. It's impossible on your own. You'll find out why and get the answer to true Christian living in Bob Christopher's excellent Harvest House book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's available now for only $10, and we pay the postage. Order your copy today at basicgospel.net. There's a prominent link right on the homepage, basicgospel.net, or by phone at 844-322-2742. Find out how the Christian life is really supposed to work in Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Remember, too, if you have a question overnight about anything you've heard on Basic Gospel or anything you'd like to pose, well, give us a call, 844-322-2742. That number's available 24 hours daily, anytime at all. We love hearing from you, our friends. And again, that number, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow for The Grace Guide to Marriage on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.